Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good to see each and every one of you. And I'm noticing on here, Mary Cribbs, I have not seen since I left Georgia. So it's so good to see her on the Zoom meeting today. She went to church. They're 3 hours difference than us. And so she's on here today. And so good to see her. And it's good to have you that are visiting with us, certainly. I love when Tim kind of messes up. I pray that he does not go to sleep. I remember hearing a story about a song leader one time that was very sleepy, and the preacher was preaching and he went to sleep. The song leader went to sleep. And he really raised his voice and he said, "I wish they'd take all this whiskey and dump it in the river. Shall we gather at the river?" So Tim, don't go to sleep. John went fishing, by the way, this week. Caught nothing. What a disappointment.
Well, I don't think we were fishers of men.
So we're going to talk about the wrath of God. And Connor, you did an excellent job up there. He really read that well. So we're going to talk about the wrath of God. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but every baby that dies, everyone that has sickness, everyone that goes through these things are facing the wrath of God. That's the cause of it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to read this again, and I want you to really think about how you fit in here. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, also, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, turned in to their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due." Paul's point in this section is to show that God is righteous or just in condemning the Gentiles. Now, some of this applies to the Jews also, but this is the majority of this text is for the Gentiles, that how bad they are and what they have done to go against God. And I think if we look at this, we will find that all of us will fit in there somewhere if you remember the past before you obeyed the gospel. The main subject of this passage is about Gentiles. And of course, when we get to chapter 2, it's going to be the idea that the Jews say that's exactly what we knew about the Gentiles, that they were horrible. And then they're going to find out how horrible they are. It is not exclusively about Gentiles, but included in all the places, in some of the places. The main problem raised about the Gentiles is this. Why should they need grace if they have never had access to law? That's really what the message is about. That they do not have law, that is the written law like the Jews had. All they had was a general revelation. And the Jews, not the Gentiles, were chosen by God to receive the revelation by his great law through Moses. So they had a written law that they could put themselves up with that standard and compare themselves with that to find out whether they could go to heaven. The Gentiles did not have that. All they had was they could look around and try to figure things out by a general revelation. If the Gentiles do not have the law, how can they be considered sinners? Now that's a good question, because I can't read about Jesus, I can't read about any of these things. How in the world would God condemn me when I didn't know? And God says, oh, you did know. And he's going to point it out. The truth is, all men have law, and this has been true since the days of Adam. God said, don't eat of that tree, and man ate of it, but he had a law. And then when you come to Genesis 9, you find that man is not to murder man, or his blood would be shed. He has a law. And so the truth is that all men have a general revelation that can clearly be seen. We do not have to go very far to figure out that there is revelation all around us, and it all points to God. If I say of a tree, where did that come from? Originally it came from God. If we see a butterfly, from God. If we see individuals, from God. It all goes back to God and we can see it. And general revelation is revelation that is given to all human beings in general, such as the phenomena of creation and providence. Do you remember in Psalm, the 19th chapter, he points out that the heavens declare the glory of God, and that there is no speech that it's not spoken clearly that God created that, or that there is a creator. It did not come from nothing. In Acts 14:17, he points out that God left himself a witness with the things that are surrounding us. And in Romans, he points it out further. So we're looking and we can see something that God has made, and we can see where everything comes from, and yet man seems to not want to know about it. So what is said in this passage actually does not apply to all people, since general revelation by its very nation is known to all. Does apply to all people, I mean. Paul is introducing the reason why only righteous by faith will be live, namely because there is no other viable option. There is no other way that man can be saved. If we look very carefully, he is setting down the premise for why man is saved by grace through faith, that he is going to introduce God as being the one with grace, and us having to be the ones that have faith to reach that grace, and reaching that grace, we get salvation. God's wrath is clearly, or it is manifested, all around us. We can see the wrath of God, and all you have to do is take a quick look. Number one, wrath is the holy revulsion of God's being against that which is a contradiction to his holiness. Anything that does not match up with his holiness, and I want you to remember something. What does God expect of man? And I'm going to tell you here, he expects perfection. I want you to get that in your mind. We say, well, everybody sins. Yes, they do. God expects perfection. We fall short of that. Therefore, we have to have a substitute. But God never accepts anything, and man has no excuse for this reason. Man can do what God said to do. There is no command that God has ever given that man cannot do. The failure is that man doesn't do what he's told to do. How do we see this wrath today? Well, retribution from government. You know, if you steal something, you're looking over your head, over your shoulder all the time. The police are going to come. Somebody's going to look for you. And childbearing. Women know how hard it is to bear children. It is painful, very painful. And that started whenever man sinned. And our conscience, have you ever been whipped by God with your conscience? I'll tell you, it's the worst thing in the world. Your conscience bothers you. And there are people that you don't think have a conscience that they have a conscience. It's there, and it's crying out for something for you to do. It either excuses you or condemns you. We have to labor for food, and when I say labor, I mean it's hard. And then disease and death and all of these things, it came when God said, Adam and Eve, you messed everything up. All of the weather, everything is messed up because they messed up, and Adam takes the blame because he was the one that was responsible to watch out for the garden and to watch out for his wife. There is a universal knowledge of God, and therefore there is a universal guilt. And guilt, whenever you think about being guilty and standing before a court, you find yourself really in trouble. All ungodliness is also unrighteousness and vice versa. Sometimes we can say that unrighteousness is how we treat our fellow man, and ungodliness is how we treat God. But it all comes down to the same thing, that we are ungodly or unrighteous. Men suppress the truth of God by the way that they live. I think John told a good story this morning about a letter that was written and somebody saying, I'll never go to church because that person wrote that letter. And that person writing the letter was a Christian. That person getting the letter was not a Christian. And it made an effect. And so this certainly is telling us that how we live is going to demonstrate whether we have God or whether we don't. It's going to tell us what it's like to have the kingdom of God or Christ reigning in your heart. And if you don't, that's going to be seen. If you do, it's going to be seen. If you don't live it, it's going to be seen. What they know is true, they deny on purpose. I watched this the other day. A guy said, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and I don't believe in life hereafter. So really, you have no belief except you're here, but you don't know why you're here. You're existing, but you don't know why you're existing, and you have no purpose, but you're just a blob of cells, and then you die, and you're dead like Rover all over. What a way to live. The created universe consists only of contingent things, things that have a beginning and are perishable. If you've ever noticed, all you have to do is look a little bit, and you'll see that nothing lasts forever. It all will die. It's all going away. For something to exist, there must be a cause. You know, Patrick is hired as a new preacher, and he's got a black eye. And you ask Patrick, how'd that happen? Oh, it didn't happen. There's no reason it got black. It just got black. No, he fell and hit himself on a chair. So he's hit the chair or the chair hit him. I don't know which, but one of the two. God's existence is plain to all by created things. That's what children need to be taught more than anything else today, that everything you're seeing, everything you're discovering, the worm that you're holding, all of those things, they came from God. And we need to embed that into people's lives. We need to embed it in our minds, because this world is taking us further and further into worldliness instead of godliness, instead of righteousness. We need to see it clearly. So this is general revelation. The problem is they reject God. They do not want him. They're going to replace him. People knew God but would not glorify or give thanks. Have you ever noticed something? A parent can raise 12 children, but 12 children can't take care of a parent. Now that's sad. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The thinking became futile and their hearts darkened. You know, God says that man's imagination from his youth up is wicked. It's evil. Why? Because we do not want to be controlled by anything. No rules, no regulations. I make my rules. I make my regulations. It's my body. I can do with it what I want. What silly thinking. They claimed wisdom, but became fools. And a fool is one that just will not look at evidence. They don't want any evidence. Idolatry. They substituted God with images of created things. Don't you hate to see people bow down to what they'd... I like that old song. They made a neon god. You remember that song? They made a neon god, and they worshiped it. If that's not stupidity, I don't know what it is. And the consequences, God gave them up to their sins. Now, I don't know if you've got a problem or you have something that's going on in your life that you just can't control and it just keeps eating at you and eating at you. You are under God's wrath. God's wrath puts it where you're going to live in that disgusting situation. You cannot accept it because you won't accept him. You're going to live in the misery of that. And people don't even know they're in misery. They think they're in happiness. But that's what God does when he gives up on you. Sexual impurities and dishonoring their bodies. You know what? It just doesn't seem natural, does it, that you're stuck with one woman? You can only have one wife, and you're stuck with her all the time, and you're not supposed to go sample anything else. That's pretty hard to take, isn't it? Well, I don't like that rule. I do love that rule. But people say, I don't like that rule. They have the same sex relations. And you know, anybody figures out that that really doesn't fit. A depraved mind resulting in terrible, terrible actions. When you get a depraved mind, I'll tell you, there's no, I'm just waiting for somebody to go and take their dog to the courthouse and want to get married. You think, well, that's silly. Well, I think it's kind of silly to take another man and try to get married. So the sins, unrighteousness, wickedness. Have you ever just met somebody that's wicked? Yes, Pagey said. Greed. I can't get enough. I can't get enough. I've got to have more things, more things, more things. Envy. Envy simply means that I look and I say, you know what? I envy what Tim has. I wish I could have what Tim has. Murder. Strife. Some people just like to fight. You know, I realized in my own family, and I'm talking about when I was growing up, I saw my mother and stepdad fight just about every day. My mother kept a suitcase by the door because she was leaving every day. And they fought and fought, and I didn't understand it. And my brother and I used to ask the question, why in the world do they fight so much? And my uncle one day said, that's the only way they can be happy, is to fight. And so they said the most hateful things. Hatred of God. They hate God, but God doesn't exist. So they hate something that they don't even believe exists, but they hate it. And every problem that comes up and where things are wrong, they take it out on God. It's God's fault. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Insolence. Do you ever notice how often we say, I told him this, and I told him that, and I. We've got an I problem. Boasting. Inventing evil. You know what? You're not going to invent any evil that God's not prepared for. You can invent it. I come up with something brand new. God says, I know about that. Disobedient to parents. Do you know who usually runs the home today? The kids. The kids run it. You say something to the parents and they say, well, you don't be cruel to my kids. Have you ever been foolish, Don? Yeah. Foolish. People are foolish. Foolishness. Faithless. No faith in anything. Not even really themselves. And heartlessness. You don't have a heart at all. And by the way, this heartlessness, if you look it up, it's saying you don't have natural feelings in your own family. That's horrible. And they're ruthless. The final indictment, active rebellion and approval by people. The more you brag, the more you tell about the evil you do, the more support you get from people. That's horrible. And that's what he says, I want you to recognize. This is why the Gentiles are condemned. Why they need a Savior. Why they can be brought out of this terrible thing. People celebrate sin instead of repentance. You know, if you're young, I just feel sorry for you. I've got all these parties going, and you're. Well, I'll tell you. You're like the Giles girls. You're left out. You're not popular because you don't go through those things. So the key themes and application. Suppression of truth equals spiritual darkness. You cannot talk to somebody that is in spiritual darkness unless they want light. And if they want light, then we can give them light through the Word of God. And idolatry, replacing God. Here's God that has done all the things of creating us, bringing us in, giving us air to breathe, and all of these things. And we replace him with something that can't talk, can't speak. And there's progressive depravity, both personal and moral decay and social decay. All of those things, we're going backwards all the time. For every progression that we make, we seem to take two steps backward. Wrath as consequences. You have to reap the consequences of sin, and until you realize that you're reaping that, you're not going to be helped. Why am I this way? Because I've turned against God, and God is not going to help me one bit in this depravity. All people need to be saved. That's what we learn. All people need to be saved. There's not anybody that does not need salvation. People are lost. Do you realize how much people are spending to find themselves? They've lost themselves, and they really have. And all they have to do is find God, and they'll find themselves. Once you find yourself, you truly find yourself, you find God. What psychiatrists try to do many times is cover it up. So I want you to recognize, when God says all of these things that we're talking about, the wrath of God, and we're seeing it plainly every day, and when you're running towards a cliff, you need somebody to stop you, and you turn around and say, I'm going to go the other way. Why is it that people want to live this way? Well, it's easy. Because they don't have any responsibility. And they don't want to take any responsibility, and they want to blame everybody and God for all of their problems. You know, that's why in the church there are so many people that are departing from the truth. They don't want God. I received something from somebody that comes here. And it tells me how to grow this church. And how to grow this church is we need to build a cafe out here. And we need to have a little park for the kids to have entertainment. And then we'll get more people. What's wrong with people? What's wrong? We must be crazy. You don't have to be crazy. You can turn to God today. And then as John said this morning in his class, God is there and he wants you to be saved. He wants a relationship with you. But he wants you to turn to him because you know that there's no other way. So we invite you to come and accept Christ as your Savior. Believe on him with all of your heart. Believe on the love of God. Repent. That is, change your mind on who's going to direct your life. confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and be baptized for the remission of sins as you reach the blood of Christ, as you're baptized into his death. So won't you come while together we stand and sing?